Sadly, since the beginning of time, people have been drawn into conflict with one another. Even the opening passages of our Holy Scripture, our Bible, tells of one man murdering his own brother. People fight one another, and when they get in large groups, they wage wars. Today is April 16th, and today is remarkable because on this day, a noteworthy battle was fought. Now, you might be thinking, what's the big deal with that? On any given day on our planet, there is some conflict taking place, and no doubt there have been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of battles fought on April 16th, or 17th, or 18th, or 19th, or any day. But one of these battles actually stands out, not because it was fought, but because it was documented. The Battle of Megiddo, which was fought between the Egyptians and the Canaanites on April 16th, 1457 BC, 3,500 years ago, is in fact the first known battle to have been recorded in what we would regard as relatively reliable detail. The leader of the Egyptian forces was Pharaoh Thutmose III. He was leading his army up from Egypt into Canaanite territory on a campaign to expand Egypt's dominion. That's what pharaohs did. And during this campaign, his personal scribe, a man named Tjanini, it's T-J, Tjanini, maintained a daily journal. And at the Battle of Megiddo, Tjanini kept detailed notes on troop movements, battle plans, weapons, chariots, horses, and so on. And then, 20 years later, the Pharaoh, now in the latter days of his life, desired that his battles be remembered. So using the detailed reports of his scribe, Thutmose had his military exploits inscribed in the stone walls of a temple at Karnak in Egypt, where they can be seen today, assuming you can read hieroglyphics. These words, through the centuries, have stood as an enduring witness to the accomplishments of this Pharaoh. Our reading for today is about being a witness. Here it is, being a witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are reading from the second chapter of the New Testament book called Acts of the Apostles, or simply Acts for short. And Acts is the continuation of the Gospel of Luke, and it picks up with the resurrected Jesus ascending into heaven. But before he goes, he instructs his disciples to remain there in Jerusalem, telling them that soon they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. When that occurs, Jesus tells them, they will be his disciples in Jerusalem, in all Judea, I'm sorry, they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples do as Jesus instructed them. They wait. They go back to Jerusalem, and they wait. And I can't imagine what a confusing, disorienting, and emotionally trying time it was for these followers of Jesus, because they had seen so much. They had experienced so much. And their future was so uncertain. The Jesus they knew had been executed. He had come back to life, and then he had ascended into heaven. And if anyone throughout history should ever feel left behind, it would be those disciples. So they waited, and they prayed. And then when the day of Pentecost arrived, these followers of Jesus were gathered in a home, as Jesus instructed, there in Jerusalem, when something that they could barely describe happened. I mean, was it the rush of this mighty wind through the house? Was the room suddenly on fire? What was it that touched each of them, jumping from disciple to disciple? What is it that changed their spirit? I mean, they could feel it. In fact, the world could feel it. And the world pressed in around that house where they were gathered. The streets filled with people from all over who were in Jerusalem for the Pentecost. But they heard the wind and they had seen the fire and they gathered. And then in their own languages, because they came from different countries around the world, they asked, "What's going on? Do you know what's going on? I heard something. What is it? What does it mean?" And those who were followers of Jesus, the Galileans, they could understand all that was said, and they responded to these people and explained it to them, each in their own languages. It was Pentecost. It was a day of miracles. The barriers between people were being torn down. The Holy Spirit was clearly at work. And then Peter, who had by now assumed his role as leader of the disciples, he looked out upon that gathered mass and he began to speak to them. And he preached to them. And he told them why it was that they were here. And he placed it all in the context of the words of the ancient prophet Joel. And then, as I read a few moments ago, he began to tell about this man, Jesus. He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man brought to your attention by God with deeds of power and wonders and signs, a man in whom God had a definite plan, a man crucified and killed, a man who God raised up. He was freed from death. This is the man that our ancestor David wrote about. David, King David, told us of the one who would not be corrupted by death. He told us of the one who would fill us with the gladness of God's presence. This is the descendant of David that God promised to place on David's throne as king of the Jews." Peter continues preaching, and he tells all of those gathered. He points back at the disciples and the apostles and the followers of Jesus and said, "We are witnesses to all of this. These are the ones who knew this man, Jesus. They witnessed his teaching. They witnessed his miracle. They witnessed his deeds of power. They witnessed his death, and they have witnessed him alive again." And then he says to the crowd, "Let all of you know with certainty that God made this man both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus that was crucified." So what is a witness? Well, a witness is someone who has personal knowledge of an event. We usually think of a witness as having observe something like a crime or an accident. But the requisite qualification of being a witness is not just personal knowledge. There's more. You can't be a witness with secondhand knowledge. You know, "Did you see that hog truck crash into that church?" "Nope, but I know a guy who did and he told me about it." That's not enough. A witness has to see it for themselves. And a witness doesn't just see. A witness has to tell. They have to tell what they know, what they've seen. A witness who keeps silent is not a witness at all. They're just an observer. A witness sees, and a witness testifies to what they have seen. When Peter spoke to that crowd 2,000 years ago, I don't think they had any idea of a town in Tennessee, which was called Lebanon. Oddly, there was a country nearby named Lebanon, but no town in Tennessee because there was no Tennessee. And yet, 2,000 years later, here we are. But no one imagined that his words would carry over time and space and inspire us to gather in this beautiful room to worship God and to give glory to the one who was crucified. When Peter preached, this place, this Lebanon, this Tennessee, was literally the ends of the earth. And yet, here we are. And we are now tasked with being witnesses. Witnesses to the message of Jesus Christ. Witnesses to Lebanon, to Wilson County, to Tennessee, to the U.S., to the ends of the earth. But times have changed in 2,000 years, haven't they? I mean, now, what's the end of the earth? I mean, the entire globe has been mapped. People have been pretty much everywhere. We want to see some spot on our globe. We can open our computers, use Google Earth, and go, oh, there it is. So where is it today that we find these ends of the earth? Where do we go to carry the message of Jesus Christ? Do we go to our own children who no longer attend church? Do we go to the people known as the nuns, those people who check none when asked for their religious affiliation? Is it those people who were once faithful but were hurt by the church and have wandered away? Or maybe it's the lost generation of millennials or teenagers or those who are in prison? Or those in the LGBTQ plus community. Those who feel that Christianity has become too mean or too judgmental or too divisive. Is it with these people that we find what Jesus calls the ends of the earth? Is that what's there? And is this where we are called now to witness to Christ's message of compassion and forgiveness? So how is it that we witness? Do we witness by, I don't know, screaming at people that they must love God or that they will burn in hell? Do we witness by telling people that they need to fall in line and act a certain way, a way that we find acceptable? Or is it better that we simply witness through the words and actions that mimic the words and actions of Jesus Christ? Do we witness by showing compassion, by showing forgiveness, by working for justice and peace in this world? Is that how we witness? Now, do you remember that battle, the Battle of Megiddo that I mentioned at the start? That was, of course, the earliest documented battle that we know of. But Megiddo is notable for another reason. See, Megiddo is a fortified city in what is today northern Israel. But in 1457 BC, there was no Israel because the Israelites had not yet arrived in that place. Ironically, they were still enslaved in Egypt. Moses would not lead them out of Egypt for another century. But over the generations, Megiddo was the location of several battles. It was an important strategic place in that part of the world at that time. And it even gets a mention in the book of Revelation, for this is the site of the final battle between darkness and light. And in Revelation, it's not called Megiddo, but it's Har-Megiddo, or Armageddon. Some Christians choose to interpret that passage in Revelation, chapter 16, verse 16, the only place where Armageddon is mentioned. Some Christians choose to interpret that passage as a physical war between God and the forces of Satan in a literal end of the world confrontation. All things will come to an end at that time and place. But another way to look at it would be that instead of conflict and violence, what if Armageddon is a new reality? A new reality in which the voices of the faithful rise up above all the noise of the world and give witness to the reality of God's love in our world. That would be a far better battle, wouldn't it? And if we call ourselves Christians, then we must take up that task of witnessing, because we are called to be witnesses from here in Lebanon, not to the end of the world, but to the ends of the earth. When we recognize the presence of Christ in our world, when we testify to others what we know to be true, when we give of ourselves, when we make Christ the center of our lives, that is when we are witnesses. And we don't do this alone, do we? We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.